You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. I'm Art Ray. Today's guest is Peter Van Dam. Peter Van Dam, a graduate of both MIT and Brown University, is an economist and nationally recognized pioneer in home-based education. Introduced to the psychic readings of Edgar Cayce over 40 years ago, he has been studying, applying, and sharing those concepts ever since. He lectures frequently at the ARE, presenting the core elements essential for building a lifestyle to rejuvenate the body and awaken the soul. Since 2001, he has also been presenting a Cayce-based morning lymphatic exercise program at the ARE's conferences and medical symposiums. This 15-minute series of easy-to-learn movements, now available as a popular instructional DVD, Western Yoga for All, is designed to help keep the body physically fit so that its mental and spiritual forces may manifest more fully. You can enjoy it as a free gift with a 2-year membership to the ARE. He is also a featured presenter at the week-long Wellness and Rejuvenation Retreat in Virginia Beach from April 21st to the 27th and September 8th to the 14th, 2012. To find out more, go to edgarcayce.org, click on Events, and then click on Conferences. To order the DVD, Western Yoga for All, go to arecatalog.com.
Thank you for coming on the show today.
You're welcome. It's a privilege.
How long have you been working with the Cayce materials?
I would say since 1973 when I first came here.
Well, how did you become involved with the Edgar Cayce materials?
Well, I had this charming lady sit next to me on a KLM flight from Amsterdam to the United States, and she was coming from Holland. And I lost touch with her in 1965, but a consulting company asked me to go to Yale and do some consulting with the economics department, and I think this was 69. And young man that I was, you always look for female companionship, and I remembered that she had gone to Yale, so we connected and later that year got married, and we married outside the church, which excommunicates me, and interestingly, she gave me a gift. You know, men don't think of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a best-selling paperback by Jess Stern called The Sleeping Prophet. So, in the morning, one door closes, which is the church, and that evening, I didn't realize it, but another door opened. And so then I, you know, I'm a book person. So I do a lot of work that way. At that time, I was in a PhD program at Brown University. And I read it a couple times and was curious about the suggestion that this information had helpful guidance for explaining the instantaneous healing that is described in the Gospels and in the Acts of the Apostles. And so I called, and I think that was 1971 or 72. And whoever answered said that, yes, there is material on remote healing. But in order to really understand it, you have to learn how to meditate and make universal law or spiritual law part of your life. I didn't know what those things meant. And he or she said that they had a little program around the country called The Search for God, and that they meet weekly, and part of the meeting would end with meditation. And it was called The Search for God. And back then, there was no such group within a 50-mile radius of Providence, Rhode Island, other than one that was 8 blocks from my home at the Brown University Boathouse. So, I joined them, and with my wife, and they observed a certain enthusiasm, and they asked me to represent them in 1973 at what turned out to be an annual congress at the Association for Research and Enlightenment. And so I came with my two little children and dog and wife, and was at that congress and a training session for a week after, and very enthusiastic people that were quite involved then in trying to apply health concepts in their daily lives as well as spiritual concepts.
Hmm.
And so it was from them, not from the books, but from their living knowledge and example that I got my introduction, because back then there was what's called the Marshall's Motel across the street from their headquarters, right on the ocean. And as they'd walk across the street to the cafeteria, they would be discussing how certain foods had an alkalizing effect on the body and certain foods had an acid-producing effect, and how if the tissues were slightly alkaline, that we would be more resistant to infection. And that really caught my ears, because I was trained in science at MIT, and alkaline, acid, has a chemical effect on the body? How come my chemistry professors never suggested thinking that way? How come I learned this from a spook who's unconscious when he's giving this information? And so, anyway, up to that point, I thought that, you know, the Edgar Cayce material was all woo-woo. And, you know, reincarnation, astrology, ancient Atlantis, other ancient civilizations, and reincarnation. And what Catholic boy is brought up to even consider those ideas? So these people knew the digestive process, and they would describe how sandwiches were a big no-no, according to this information, because the bread, which is a starch above ground, is acid producing, and also the meat, turkey or hamburger or whatever it is also acid producing, and that in combination it leads to incomplete digestion.
And wow.
They explained how this occurred. You know, they described how the digestion of the starches requires the saliva that's secreted in the mouth with the mastication. And so if you couple that with meat, and, you know, it gets down into the stomach where the hydrochloric acid is supposed to act on the meat, well, that kicks in, but then it disables the digestion of the starches. And so you have incomplete digestion, fermentation, partially digested food gets into the intestines in a way that they're not supposed to. Recently, I learned from a biologist that because of that, bacteria still have to break it down. And so then we have to deal with the waste products of the bacteria because of our poor food choices. That's cool.
Hmm.
Our body tries to compensate for our misguided choices. And then some of that matter, instead of being more fully digested and useful for the cells, gets into the bloodstream as purifying or, you know, sort of rotting material. So we have different things floating around in us of an acid nature, and the body has to do something with that acid. And so it finds little interstitial locations where it tries to store the acid and protect the body from it because of its corrosive nature. You know that acids corrode things, right?
Oh, yes.
Break them down. And so then they also said how modern science was confirming what Edgar Cayce's readings told people, that by keeping your tissues alkaline with alkalizing foods, that you're less susceptible to viruses and bacteria, because the viruses and bacteria require an acid environment in order to thrive. So, and I was very subject back then, I was about 35, to infection. I'd have a lot of respiratory problems. In fact, as a young man, I had 3 pneumothoraxes, which you might know are collapsed lungs. And I'd get my annual flu and everything. And so if the promise was that I'd be free of infection, then I should start salads instead of my regular fare of sandwiches.
We'll be right back with more. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We're back with Peter Van Dam.
Fortunately, with that motel across the street, the Marshall's Motel, they had a salad bar, and I knew the only way I'd find out is if I experimented with my own body. And those people explained to me that's why the organization was called Association for Research and Enlightenment. I do the research, they said, with my own life. And so for those 2 weeks, it was very easy to have a salad bowl instead of acid-type foods. And that's one of the centerpieces of the Edgar Cayce reading. In fact, one reading told a 23-year-old woman that was going to the United Kingdom that, no, she did not need inoculations if she had lettuce, celery, and carrots as a meal or part of a meal every day. And so guess who, since 1973, has been having lettuce, celery, carrots, and other veggies in his salads about 95% of the time?
Wow.
So guess who never gets sick anymore? I haven't been ill where I've had to be in bed for a day, I would say for at least 35 years. And that's cool. In fact, I turned 74 this year and have a pain-free body that serves me very well.
And I just have to add, our listeners, I guess they can go to the page and see what you look like. You look like you're in your, at most, early 50s.
Now, my daughters get upset when I occasionally date a lady that's younger than them.
Goodness. You have the diet, but you also do the exercises, and you instruct in those.
Oh, yeah. Well, diet and exercises are the two blades of a scissors. And, in fact, I was introduced to exercises based on the Edgar Cayce readings and the work of Dr. Harold J. Riley in 1973 also. They were being led at that Congress in front of the marshals on the sand at about, I think, 6:30 in the mornings. And back then I wanted to sample everything. And so I went to these. And they were led by a chiropractor who's still alive. Her name is Genevieve Haller. And she is a Libra and was very careful not only to show us how to do each of the routines, but as she went through them, she explained how it was benefiting the different systems of the body, whether it was the liver or the lymph system or helping lymph nodes cleanse themselves or nerve endings or whatever it was. She would explain that. And I discovered later that the Edgar Cayce material did do that for a lot of people, not just say exercise, but give them specific exercises and tell them why that was beneficial, either for the feet or for the respiratory function or strength building. In fact, in terms of strength, it warned people people not to do extreme stretching as we see in some of the contemporary yoga, and instead moderate stretching, strengthening. And again, as I said earlier, my body is very healthy. I have all my joints and all my functions, and I don't do any weightlifting, no running, no biking. Well, biking for recreation, but not a biking program, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a reading, actually, that says through diet and exercise, the greater portion of all disturbances can be equalized and overcome. And what I find very interesting about this is our reliance on people that have medical degrees or certified practitioners of this or that for the human body. Because really, modern medical research over and over again is finding that it's a nutrient-rich diet and proper exercises plus an optimistic attitude, you know, being constructive, are the three key factors for having a healthy life.
Hmm.
So, and what most medicine and even here at the ARE don't really look at the body properly, and in terms of exercise and diet, the readings showed the interdependence of these two factors, and I discovered this through the work of Edgar Cayce's eldest son, Hewlin Cayce, who probably worked with more people to enable them to start experiencing some more deeper aspects of their psychic lives. In his writings about that, he pointed out how, as a foundation, balance was very important for people that wanted to tap into their soul this way. And he went on to say that even more than how you schedule your day, because the readings told many, many people, learn to budget your time so you have spiritual and mental as well as physical activities. But Yulin, in working with these people, found that a lot of them were troubled or hindered by heavy diet, which he described as, you know, the heavy acid foods, the starches, and the sweets as the predominant feature of a daily diet. And how shifting to an alkalizing diet was so much more beneficial for having a body that would serve them in a way that they could have psychic experiences or without extreme conditions. But then he said, equal to that is the necessity for exercise. And I thought, oh, that's really curious. I did know Hewlin. My children loved him because he was always available for them to jump on his knees when we came down here. And we went to the family camp and rural retreat with him. So we got to know him and Sally, his wife, a little bit more than a lot of people. But I discovered later that as a young man, right after his father lost the hospital after the crash in 1930-29, that when he was 23 years old, I think it was in March of 1931, he asked for a reading, and the question was for guidance as to how to prepare his physical body to be a better channel for the creative forces. And of course, creative forces in this material is another name for God, or the first cause, or the divine, whatever the readings would say. Don't let the words get in the way of the concept. And so in that reading, he was given certain guidance, and the first was, and this is always the case with using the physical body, was a recommendation that he needed a certain adjustment in the, I think it was the cervical area of the spine, so that there'd be better coordination between the sensory nervous system and the autonomic and the central nervous system. And that was number one. And then number two was diet. And he was told that he was deficient in vitamin B and vitamin C, and that he should not get those vitamins from supplements, but from real foods.
Hmm.
And, but then he was told that this will do you no good if you don't have daily systematic exercises, morning and night. And the source goes on to explain that, you know, you take those nutrients into your body, and what are they for? They're to help cells perform their functions. You know, they create heat and either they reproduce themselves or they help you move the body. Whatever that cell's function is facilitated by those nutrients. But also, in that chemical activity, the cells have to throw off the used forces, as described in the readings. And used forces, of course, are metabolic waste, the carbon dioxide and drosses or poisons, as the readings would describe them. And so he was told that by not exercising, he's not able to counteract this effect, and he won't be able to function the way he wants to be a well-balanced channel for the divine forces to work through him.
Hmm.
And so the more I've become acquainted with the readings and the body and its mental and spiritual nature, the more I realize that in contemporary language, people are helped if they're not only told, as St. Paul wrote in I believe, Corinthians, that the body is the temple of the living God.
We'll be right back with more. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. Let's continue our conversation with Peter Van Dam.
But that this physical body should be looked at as a waste treatment plant that's continually producing waste, and with four main outlets: the skin, the respiratory system, the urinary system, and the colon. And this is a process that's going on all the time. And, you know, our skin gets oily, dead skin cells fall. And what do we breathe out? Do you know what we exhale?
Oh, yes, carbon dioxide.
Oh, what's that a product of?
Respiration.
Yeah, but what's it a product of?
Oh, you mean, what are the chemicals that go into that?
Yeah.
Well, oxygen and carbon.
Uh-huh. And how do they get there into carbon dioxide?
Well, the oxygen would come from the atmosphere. The carbon would come from our food.
Yeah. When I was a little boy, my father would lift the hood of the car, and we'd see a battery. And there'd be a lot of corrosion around it. Modern batteries are much less likely to show corrosion from battery acid, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've seen this.
Oh, yes.
And so he would get a little glass of water and put a spoonful of baking soda in it, and then pour it over the corrosion. And what happens, there's a lot of fizzing. And then he would use a toothbrush to speed it up the reaction. and then hose it off. And he would say, okay, Peter, now you can touch those terminals because the acid isn't there to burn your skin. And indeed, everything had been neutralized. Well, that fizzing is carbon dioxide. And the acid is sulfuric acid. And here's the interesting thing, that your body manufactures sulfuric acid and sodium bicarbonate. So we've got these chemical reactions going on since our first breath as a newborn infant until our dying breath, if we choose to die. And so, once you start getting some more physical sense for what's going on, then you start paying attention.
Oh, yes.
But come to Edgar Cayce asking for cathartic or laxative. And so invariably the source would first start off with saying that the best laxative is exercise.
Well, you were educated at MIT and Brown, and
yeah,
you were an economic consultant with such a busy career. How were you able to fit your exercises into your daily schedule?
Well, that's a good question. Actually, back in 1973, I had two children and then a couple more that came along, so that kept me kind of busy with recreation time. And it wasn't until I was in my, I'd say around 94, so that would have been my late or middle 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And someone, body worker said, boy, Peter, your upper back is stiff. And I thought that all I needed to do was, you know, I've been doing daily meditation since 1971. And there's an adage that frequently appears in the Edgar Cayce readings that says, after breakfast, work a while. After lunch, rest a while, and after dinner, walk a mile. And so, indeed, after dinner, I'd walk a mile, or 2 miles. But I discovered that wasn't enough in terms of keeping a limber, flexible, functional body. I had lower back pain, creaky joints. And so I came here to Virginia Beach and discovered there was a circulating file with extracts from the Cayce readings on exercise. And so I took it back to Rhode Island and all alone pulled out what seemed to be a nice daily morning setting up routine. And it turned out to have, in the end, just 16 easy-to-learn routines that activated all the different parts of the body. Nerve endings, the muscle groups, the lymph system, the respiratory system, even the liver and the spleen get special treatment. And so I did it all by myself up there about, I think it was 6 years before I moved to Virginia Beach. And then I discovered that in Virginia Beach, at the headquarters of the ARE, no one was doing these exercises. And so, fortunately, Leslie Cayce, the wife of Charles Thomas Cayce, was managing conferences. And so I offered that I present them in the morning the way they're supposed to be, as they had been back in the 70s. And she penciled them in, and they've become a permanent feature of all the headquarters conferences. And the interesting thing is how many people will come to me and say, you know, for example, here's one man. He said, you know, I came here for ancient mysteries, But now I'm revising. I think I really came here to learn these exercises because it helped me a lot. And numerous people would even go so far as to say, this has been the highlight of the conference. Why? Because it was something they can take home and get engaged with in a very easy way. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes. Well, and also for people who don't come to the conferences or don't have that opportunity, they can get your DVD, Western Yoga for All. And I know Allison, my wife, really likes it.
I would have never produced that if it wasn't for Leslie Casey. She would get evaluations from the conference, and people started writing in that they wanted to take Peter home with them and put him in a little slot in their DVD player. I had no idea, and no intention. You know, these exercises were for me. It was to tune my body up. But they were helping so many people that Charles Thomas and I had some lengthy negotiations, and finally I flew out to California with his support financially. And so it's really a legacy of the last year of Charles Thomas Casey and Leslie Casey at the ARE that that DVD exists.
Wow.
And it, I'm told that it's still their bookstore's bestseller in terms of any DVD or book.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And people come for seconds and thirds because they find it helpful for their loved ones. I've even had a doctor come and buy, a chiropractor buy them in bulk because he recognized, the thing he liked about it was that all the different nerve endings were being stimulated, and CAT scans of the brains of centenarians, a centenarian is 100 years or older, to measure brain shrinkage. And what the results showed that based on lifestyle, the individuals who were more active with more parts of their body on a regular basis exhibited the least brain shrinkage. And so another local chiropractor, I think, has purchased maybe 130 of them over the last 6 years.
Wow. And, of course, we have a link to that. DVD.
We have a link to it at the ARE catalog, I think.
Perhaps. I know we have it on the radio page. We have that up now. And also, you're going to be part of the annual Wellness Week in Virginia Beach.
Yes.
Could you tell us about that?
Well, this is the Wellness Week. I think they call it Wellness Retreat now. It used to be called Wellness and Rejuvenation Intensive. It's the same thing. It's limited to a very small group of people who live in, get their meals, and are together for 6 or 7 days. And I think the total number is limited to 12, and they're pretty strict about that. They
do
that way because, you know, there's a different atmosphere that's created.
We'll be right back with more with Peter Van Dam on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Casey. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Casey. We're back with Peter Van Dam.
And they try to restrict it just to those people being together with their different activities. And so my part is every morning, first thing in the morning, they meet with me, ideally outside, because breathing is a very important part of these exercises. And in fact, there's certain specific breathing exercises that help to balance the left and the right hemispheres and balance the endocrine glands, which are, according to this information, so very important for enabling the secretion of hormones into the blood system that enable the body to rebuild itself and rejuvenate. And so that's my part, and then I share some of their meals. But then there are other parts. They get a medical assessment and treatments, I believe, with Peter Shobe, a chiropractor, and they all experience what a colonic is and have massages. And I'm not too sure of all the treatments that they get in the spa, and I believe they learn how to make the different packs that are the top remedies from the Edgar Cayce readings. And then they also work with attitudes and emotions, which are very important. A lot of people make themselves ill by the kinds of thinking that becomes habitual.
Or oh, yes.
Even obsessive, you might say. And so I think there, the group many times is even divided in half so that it can be more like one-on-one or just small groups there. But I've seen some of these groups come back so bonded that I think of one where you know, they took a tour to Peru together, and then they came and had a reunion another time at Virginia Beach. And so these things on a small scale like that mean a lot to those participants.
It's a smaller group, but a lot more intensive. It looks really amazing.
Yeah. They get a big notebook to carry it home. And one of the things that when they come back that they do report, if, you know, keeping up is the simple exercise program.
Well, actually, we're about out of time. Is there anything else you would like to share with the listeners?
Well, we didn't really get into holism, but everyone calls themselves a holistic practitioner and whatnot, and I used to be economist for the Rhode Island Attorney General and in the Consumer Protection Division. And I just want to encourage people to become good consumers and really study what the concept of holistic means, because a lot of people that call themselves holistic practitioners really don't bring in the mental and especially the soul, the way, say, Socrates in 500 BC taught was important if there was going to be really a cure as opposed to a treatment. So, anyways, I think that's important, that people become informed when they become consumers of these types of services.
Well, thank you for all this information. And thank you for coming on the show today.
Well, thank you for inviting me. And look forward to seeing you again on campus. And the only other thing is, I'm very accessible, so people can always contact me around campus.
It's time for the Thought for the Day. And today's Thought for the Day will be read by Kimberly Rose, who has a CD out called Connecting to Your Higher Self. Well, hello.
Hello.
And what's today's thought for the day?
This is reading 10892. Fear not, I am with thee. This should be upon the mind, the heart, that there may be the renewing of the life flow in the blood of the body, that the organs thereof may be attuned to spirituality. And to me, this when I read this, Edgar Cayce talks so much about, he talks about energy and the importance of health also, how we eat, how we think, how we live our lives, the things that we do. And he was such a great teacher of when you get up in the morning, you do, you know, the way you got to be conscious of your thinking in the way, you know, what you're putting in your body and everything in every way, how you're honoring yourself. And I think that he's talking here about renewing the life flow, the energy that you have within you, you know, is, it's so important that you're honoring your body, your mind, and your spirit at the same time so that you can be attuned with your creator. And keeping that in your mind and your heart allows you to stay in that attunement of spirituality.
And that affects us physically. We don't know all about the body. There are many things yet to be discovered, and I guess there will always be for a long time. But we do know that fear can cause the release of cortisol or other possibly problematic hormones that can hurt our bodies. So we see that there's a connection between our emotions or our mindset and our physical well-being, you know, the blood of the body and the organs thereof. So if we begin with the emotions and the thought and think in our minds, fear not, that God is with us, perhaps that helps stem the flow of those things that might hurt our bodies.
That makes a lot of sense. And then when we know that, there's a vibration there that we feel and we become conscious.
All right. Well, thanks for doing the thought for the day.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have for the show today. Thanks to Peter Van Dam for talking to us. To find out more about his DVD, go to arecatalog.com and search for Western Yoga for All. To find out more about the week-long Wellness and Rejuvenation Retreat, go to edgarcasey.org, click on Events, and then click on Conferences. Thanks to Kimberly Rose for the thought for the day, and most of all to you, the listener. Thanks for listening to Reflections, the wisdom of Edgar Cayce.